Dude, Vampire Police Carrot.
What? What?
What?
What?
What?
Vampire Police Carrot.
Are you talking about Goody?
You told me to say that.
You ruined the bit already, Eric!
Oh, this is the worst fourth anniversary ever!
What?
Roll call?
I guess so. Let's just cue the roll call!
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect. Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wielder. Blue Caster. Cheetah's Zeal. Loyal and Loud. Green Caster. Lake.
One Little Spark of Courage. Green Caster. Global Song Perga.
Either I'm here or I'm not. Haunting Caster.
Shining Through the Night. Spellcaster. Blade.
Unleashing my inner animal. Beast Caster. Shoo.
The rider like from your nightmares, Crimson
Republic. Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air! Welcome everyone to episode 188 of Radio Sentai Cast
Ranger. Dawn's just like, can I drink my drink? Is that okay? You can drink your drink, Dawn.
I'm just going to drown my sorrows now.
So if you guys didn't hear, we have a return of the amazingly smart Quantum Caster. Say hello.
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 Good hello.
Bad
it's
hello.
Me.
Good and bad hello.
And then we have our new very first caster-like Crimson Fox, Dawn. Hello.
Hello. Wow.
And Gar's still not here.
Yeah, Gar, unfortunately, life got in the way, so he's very sad to not be here. We're also not sad for him not being here. So.
And Cell's supposed to be on, and Paul's supposed to be on, and Raven was supposed to be on, but they're not.
It's okay.
It's our anniversary, damn it!
I know.
To be fair,
Sal and Paul have not been watching our shows. They have no context. They wouldn't have much to say.
It's not the point.
No,
I don't even
the
watch
kind of
Kamen Rider
it kind of
here.
Is.
I just got here.
Yes. So bear mind with Crimson Fox. She's diving into the world
no.
of Toku for the first time, so this is a brand new world for her.
No.
Before today, all she has seen was one episode of Build, one episode of Exade. Actually, no, I didn't show you Build. I showed you Exade. But I did show you episodes 1 and 2 of Lupin Ranger.
See, to your like, maybe 1 week of experience, to our Minichi's 11-year of experience, yeah.
I was having too much fun laughing at the fact that there's Luigi Borg. And Quiche Borg, okay? These need to be in the show. Quiche Borg.
What?
That video
I know that video.
The ways of pronouncing Ouija board.
Yeah, no one knows how to spell Ouija board.
Oh, yes.
It's with a Q.
Can I get it from a witch or vegan?
Oh, God.
Where'd you buy a Luigi board?
Yes. Oh, and yes, Shu and Blaze are here. Hello, friends.
Yeah, we got a new person.
Yep.
You probably heard him.
Yep.
You probably heard me multiple times, including on possibly the extra.
Yay!
I was gonna say you probably heard
Blaze is just squealing inside. Yes, I made it on the anniversary special!
Hey, I already made it to episode 169. I'm good.
yes.
That's episode 100, yes.
100, yes. So this week we are talking about Build episode 25 and Lupin Pat episode 4. There will be no feature topic this week.
Because of a reason that I will announce at the end of the show.
Oh yeah, so stay fucking tuned, motherfucker.
Even we don't know.
Right? Well,
Also, I'm sorry, we haven't said it yet. Have we been really doing it this long?
Damn.
Oh! Because no one else is going to steal that from me.
So, yeah.
My line! I invented it!
If you didn't
really? I'm going
to
steal it right now.
No, don't.
You fucking
what did he say? I forget already.
Good, we'll keep it at that.
Already?
So, if you didn't listen to Extra, the night we're recording this, March 9th, is in fact the 4-year anniversary of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
That's right, and we're still going strong, even today. So, you haven't heard The Last of Us.
Sorry, what was that, Shu?
And round of applause.
Hooray!
Yay! Stop that. Eric ducks on the ground. Excellent contribution, Eric. So let's just dive right into build. Be the one, we'll make a boy. So, that was our bumper. That's why we paused, so we can insert the bumper. So it starts with Misora
walking all the way to the battlefield barefoot.
And like Ryuga's like
magically avoiding all of the
glass and nails and any stones that may enter her path.
Yeah, maybe she's just
no glass and nails, the thing that normally litter the streets.
I blocked on a solid.
Sorry, hold on. What was that?
Glass and nails, the things that normally litter the streets of Japan.
Right.
Well, during a war zone,
basically full zombie.
She's just phasing it out. She's just zenning it out.
I mean,
or maybe it's bad writing.
I walked on concrete barefoot. It's not fun.
Maybe she's just magic and willed all the shards.
You don't have Mars power.
Wait, I just realized something important.
The fact that she is a fairly light woman, so walking on a bed of nails wouldn't actually be that bad.
Also, she was influenced by her bracelet, so she probably didn't even care.
That's true.
She just like wakes up. Realizes her feet are in terrible pain, crumples and falls.
That would be horrible.
So she shows up where everyone is and just literally lifts up Rogue and the brothers and splits a hole in the wall and just fucking throws them back into Saito.
Fuck out!
Yeah, and then
you are the chosen one.
And it was pretty cool, and even everyone's just looking at her like, what the fuck's going on?
Tanks, may the force be with you to a whole new level.
Yeah, that's like almost Luke Skywalker kind of shit.
It really did seem Star
that's more
Wars-y
Yoda
actually.
Kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then she says the word Evolt before passing out, which is a reference to something we will not talk about here, because that's for the spoiler show.
Damn it.
Not so subtle foreshadowing.
It's a theory.
We know.
A game theory.
Let's not talk about what it's actually referring to, and let's theorize.
It's Evolt. A theory. A build theory. Thanks for watching.
Just not so subtle foreshadowing.
So what I was theorizing is that Evolt is some kind of, like, Martian god or something. And so I like to think possibly that Soichi might have been possessed by this Evolt when he grabbed the Pandora's box.
And I agree with you, because I've been vocal about my theory that Soichi has been taken over or face swapped or something with something happened to him on Mars and he's not himself.
Yeah. Maybe not a Martian god. I think it might just be some asshole.
So not a Martian god, but a Martian asshole.
It's either a god or a civilization.
So someone else went to Mars first before Soichi?
It was whoever destroyed
Or it was the Martian.
That was like, as we see from the visions that Misora has apparently been having all along.
Yeah! So every time she like goes to purify a bottle, she has this vision of like this Martian civilization just getting completely wiped out, and then she thinks, oh, I don't want that to happen, and then the bottle purifies.
Why the fuck?
You've been doing this for over a year now and you haven't mentioned this?
Exactly! I was gonna say, like, you never thought to maybe bring this up?
It's just some abstract psychological thing that we can't.
It'd be funny if, like, Soichi just, like, she told that to Soichi and he was like, don't ever mention that, please.
It wouldn't surprise me since, you know, he's probably evolved.
But then I think Misora would have said, like, oh, my dad told me not to tell anyone.
I gotta say, like, I think I mentioned this before, but we still have not had a proper scene where we address Misora processing that so her dad is Bloodstark.
We had a little bit of it when she was talking to him and realizing he was lying.
Yeah.
I know, but that was when she was suspecting it, and we never ever got a follow-up to that.
No,
she,
but
like,
then she
confirmed
No, but when she was just standing there crying and being all upset, that's kind of her way of showing, oh my god, my dad's an evil asshole and he's been lying this whole time.
Yeah, but she doesn't realize that he's that evil asshole.
Yeah, but sometimes...
At the same exact time, she learned that her one of her good friends was also one of those evil assholes.
Yeah, and also you don't always need words to fully express what a character's feeling.
I just want them to address it.
Yeah, sometimes things don't need addressing right away.
May
so.
I say one thing?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but for some reason, the scene where it was showing what Misora's thoughts were, when she showed the Martian civilization being destroyed, all I could think of is the scene from Slither, the James Gunn movie, where one of the alien slugs goes into the sister's mouth and she pulls it out, but before it does, it, like, partially, she can reach, she becomes part of the hive mind for like, a second, and she can see all the civilizations that the alien destroyed. It was almost exactly the same imagery.
Oh, wow.
All I could think of was that. I don't think it was even slightly intentional, but...
That was kind of reminding me of the vision, like, Shepard has in Mass Effect 1, where he just sees, like, the Protheans all being wiped out by the Reapers.
That actually seemed,
One other thing about when Misora ejects the brothers through the wall, like the bracelet glows, and then she holds her hand out, and my immediate thought was, Data Drain!
Scary!
The brothers and Rogue.
Yeah. The brothers Rogue.
It was cool, like, they showed, like, they also showed, like, a close-up of, like, Rogue's feet, like, kind of just, like, lifting up in the air, and, like, they're all just like, what the fuck's going on? So, of course, like, Sento, being super fucking concerned, immediately contacts Soichi, and, like, he's like, oh, I'm surprised you actually called me first.
It's, I gotta say, it's so weird to have a show where the main character just has casual catch-up conversations
with the villain.
Well, it's because...
Hey, what's up? How's it going? How's my daughter? I'm gonna steal your thing.
It's kinda cool, though. Like, it's a neat relationship.
Basically, small talk, and then beat the shit out of your opponent.
To be fair, something happened with Misora, and so he's like, maybe your father knows something about this. And
Ceasefire while we discuss my daughter.
So he went to question him about it, and then he's like, oh yeah, I heard about that. Pretty freaky shit, huh? And he's like, are you gonna, like, try to use her for something? And he's like, oh please, I would never harm my own daughter.
I don't wanna fuck with a goddess that can shove people through the wall.
And, like, he says he doesn't know anything, but I think he's bullshitting.
He literally,
when a main villain says, nope, I don't know anything about what you're talking about, they know something.
Yeah, I got that bracelet from Mars, and when I put it on her, it didn't come off.
I got it from JCPenney.
On Mars.
It's 50% off.
JCPenney on Mars.
Yeah.
basically, JCPenney sells Martian artifacts.
Yeah.
It's the JCPenney on Mars.
Basically, what we're led to understand
I got it from a creepy man speaking Latin.
So what we're going to understand here is that opening Pandora's box is going to lead to the destruction of humanity, like Mars apparently experienced. And Misora, obviously not wanting that to happen, she claims that she wants to help and she wants to fight. And my immediate thought was, slap a fucking bill driver on her.
No, she does not need to be a rider.
That would be hilarious, though.
That's okay. No.
Fucking Banjo's not using his.
Well, yeah, rip cross. But no, if Misora can learn to, like, kind of master her powers, because, like, it was weird, Sento was like, oh, the bracelet has some kind of artificial intelligence in it, and I'm like,
yeah,
really?
I love that he has Misora hooked up to, like, this VR headset with, like,
and
Ethernet cables.
And somehow he can read thoughts.
He, like, pokes her to, like, go, like, you can take it off now.
He's got, like, Ethernet cables somehow plugged into the fucking bracelet, and I'm like, there's no way that's actually a thing.
A bracelet with an AI. Yeah, that just sounds so bullshit.
He just has a magic.
Can I connect my bracelet to the Wi-Fi?
Right. What's your? My bracelet needs your password. So
the password's Pandora's box. Access granted.
Bracelet. Google how to get rid of Skywall.
I feel like.
So you're saying that the bracelet is a website?
Want to get rid of the Skywall? There's an app for that.
Yeah.
Oh god, it's such an old joke.
The Skywall control app.
On Mars.
So the rest of the episode is pretty much dedicated to finding out the spy for Sato, and
you gotta go to a Martian Apple store in order to get the Skywall app.
So the plan they put forth to find the spy is pretty straightforward. They feed every department different information. And, of course, it's the one dude who talks during this whole scene who ends up being guilty.
What are the odds?
And then he does what every fucking Namba person does, pulls a Hail Hydra and just fucking disintegrates himself with a bottle.
We've already seen that before.
Lion Twitter debuted. But yeah, I gotta say, it's the most hilarious suicide ever because it involves gently sprinkling yourself with a spray bottle.
What if someone just decided to pull a prank on that guy and just filled his bottle with glitter?
Shit!
Now you're arrested and this will never come off.
Now you're arrested and...
I've been finding this in my hair for decades!
You just see blood start just around the corner, just like, hey, you'll never realize I switched the real one with the fake.
And then he just stabs him anyway.
getting sharp by the herpes of arts and crafts.
Also, it was really funny, like, when Sento's like, I found out who the spy is, you just see, like, Bat Dad just, like, sitting there just really intensely, oh. like, eyes wide, like, Nani?
It was you.
Tell me!
I'm about to summon it.
Tell me.
And just pointed to his left.
So then
it's the only other guy in the room.
So then we find out about something called the Namba Children, where apparently Namba Heavy Industries, they, like, recruited a group of kids from an orphanage and, like, trained them into, like, scientists and soldiers and spies.
So it's motherfucking Kureshima Amagi from Gaim all over again.
And, like, Nariaki is one of these Namba children. The
brothers are.
The Washio brothers or whatever are.
I just realized, the Washio brothers!
Wait, what's the thing you said last book time?
I forget.
Like, something, brothers, you'll be hooked on the brothers?
Oh! They're stronger oh, yeah. than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
There you go.
Sorry about enough that their name that their first name is just based on weather occurrences.
Yeah, Ryan Fu for
yep.
lightning and wind.
Oh my
they're
God.
The Washio brothers and warring's their game.
And then they're talking about like, oh my Namba children are great, and then he's like, go my Kaiser Rose, like do your shit. Wait. And then goes over to or Nariaki goes over to Rogue and he's like, yeah, I got a job for you too.
So just real quick about the Namba children. At the end of the episode in the preview, they talk about how there's like another traitor. I'm gonna go ahead and put it down that Sawa is probably the traitor and also one of the Namba children.
Well, I thought she was gonna be the culprit this time too.
I'm just skeptical.
I'm pretty she's already been seen canoodling with Namba, feeding him information on Build in the past, so it would not surprise me in the least if she was going to end up betraying them to Namba, and she was probably one of the Namba children to begin with.
Double.
I mean, we haven't
bitch.
Seen her in a while.
She hasn't really done sense. Much.
I just don't care about
Last time we saw her was during the battle between Build and Greece, and before that, nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the true location of the Pandora box, which is back in Plastic Warehouse Garage, gets leaked somehow.
Toy Warehouse.
Yeah. Gentoku busts in on Akaba, the lone guard guarding the fucking plot box. Because that was genius.
Yeah, and then so Gentoku...
One, how did he find out it was there? Two, I just remembered something I wanted to say. I feel like at least one of the Namba children just which is like, oh, you must pledge to this company. I feel like one of the kids just went, no, that's stupid, fuck you.
I still believe that.
And then was immediately sprinkled on with death
dust. Yeah,
that's
what I was thinking. They were immediately killed.
I still believe Nariaki's
brain
a robot.
To turn into a super soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Gentoku shows up and, he proceeds to kick the shit out of the castle as...
painful to watch.
As it is. And, knocks one of his, shield things off of him, and...
That's supposed to come off! That suit is expensive!
Okay, and I'm sorry for the SpongeBob joke, but I just immediately, when I saw that, I immediately thought of the, wow, I didn't know this was a hat! it wasn't.
Leaving a fucktard to watch the MacGuffin box.
What's funny is, as Akaba's fighting Rogue or whatever like that, you just see his phone on the table and Kazumi's trying to call him and they're just running shit, we need to get back to him, he's gonna fucking die! And of course they get there and it's already too fucking late, Rogue's kicked his ass.
They get there just in time to see him die.
Yeah.
He does a punching version of his crack up finish and literally cracks the castle.
Yep. It
cracks open the castle.
That's how you destroy a castle. You break its foundation. Crack its walls.
And thus, the entire Sanba Garasu are dead.
Well, I would
have just thought of something even more stupid.
Oh.
I didn't think he was going to die, but the second he said, let's go, bury those guys' dog tags in place of their bones, I immediately went, yeah, he's dead.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be cool if he kept their baubles, if they're still around, and he just uses, stag, castle, and owl powers.
Right?
That'd be cool.
I would like to
see the war is over, I don't have a house anymore.
So
castle.
Makes a castle. So, yes.
It doesn't have air conditioning!
So Grease, Ryuga, and Sento show up, and then they all do a really awesome triple henching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, at one point, like, the Kaisers, they show up to, like, the fake location, and they're like, realize, oh, shit, the Pandora's Box is not here, so Bill shows up and, like, fights them and goes, like, Whale, Shobosha.
He goes, Kujira Shobosha, which is cool to see Whale, but then the weird part about that scene is, he changes to Rose Shobosha, but he, like, puts the Shobosha bottle in again, even though it's already in the belt.
I like to think you have to, like, take it out and then re-put it in.
You don't have to do that in the toy.
No, but I don't, like...
He didn't do that, like, every other time.
That's the toy. You're thinking of the logic, oh, if the toy does that, it has to do it in the show, too? No, it has to be has to do it.
I feel like there has to have been instances where that happened in the show.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure that he's done it without taking it out
before. I'm pretty sure it happened on the first episode.
Well, who knows?
But yeah, that was a lot of red on that form. Jesus.
Isn't that epic kick?
Build.
Rose Shobosha was a pretty nice suit.
Very red.
Like the rose eye. Rose eye
like,
was nice.
Like Greencaster Paul, he was here watching it with us, and even he was impressed by it.
Yep. Oh, but yeah, so they all, like, start fighting Rogue or whatever like that, and Rogue is just, like, fucking tearing him to pieces because he's, like, the best writer in the show right now, and I love him. And then Bill decides, fuck it, all right, I'm going to have to go Bill Hazard to kick his ass, and
I'm again disappointed that they missed an opportunity to show off a different Super Best match.
Yeah, that's fine. And so
I want Key Dragon Hazard, damn it!
No, oh, that won't happen.
That would be super cool.
That never happened because Dragon Ball does not like Build.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And it'd be way too.
But think how awesome it would be.
Mm. So he goes overflow, and he just proceeds to like bounce around and like do like super speed. And I was so fucking impressed by it. Like I just oh.
What was even more impressive was how Rogue answered him by parrying his final Hisatsu. With his own in a fucking backflip kick. Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, that was really amazing.
It was one of the coolest I've ever actually seen in the show.
Yeah, no, Rogue continues to impress.
That kick, no, it was Charge that he parried with that kick. Yeah.
Yeah. And the coolest thing is that... Sorry,
go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah?
It's going to be done.
No.
This week, Curiel did the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
No, wait, was it last week or this week that she did?
Close enough.
It was last week. Okay,
I gotta catch up on Hugtoe so badly.
But she did. She did a flip kick and, like, punched a monster right in the face.
That's cool.
Yeah. But in live action, it's, in a way, there's something about it it's funny, because they're both impressive for different reasons.
Yeah.
In live action, it's cool, because it's like, whoa! But in animation, it's cool, because the animation's good.
But I did like that's okay. No, it's okay. You like... Precure. It's good to make references. But I like that Bill Hazard like punches Rogue and he like sends him into a wall. So like he can stand up to Rogue somewhat, but Rogue just has like the more brave, he's the more powerful one.
It's not just that, he's smarter because he knows that when Hazard loses control he'll just attack anyone.
Yeah, so he
proceeds to shove Grease in front of him.
And then he starts fighting Grease and just like he's like hey, 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 and then he grabs Pandora's box and then uses the Phoenix Full Bottle and the Nebula Steam Gun and turns into a phoenix and flies off.
Which he's done before.
Yeah, which is fucking cool.
It's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Hazard gets up in Misora's face and starts attacking her, or rather threatens to, and then the bracelet shines. And we get to see what will become Rabbit form, I guess.
Yeah, but like, no, he grabbed her by like her neck and just
lapel, but yeah.
Yeah, like holding her up and just being like, I'm gonna kill ya! And like Ryo gets
I'm gonna do it!
Yeah, I did it!
I would just imagine him in the Hazard suit with his brain on auto just thinking, I'm gonna kill ya!
I'm gonna kill ya! and just Ryo gets like, no, don't do it! Because like he really cares about her, so.
So, on that cliffhanger, the next week episode preview shows that we're gonna get another fucking proxy fight!
Which is fine, because those are good.
There is apparently another trainer, which is probably Sawa. And we're going to get to see the Engine and Remocon Brothers fused form, the Hell Brothers.
That's cool.
Yep.
So good episode. I enjoyed it.
I also enjoyed it.
Eric, did you like it?
I didn't know what was going on, but I liked it.
Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
I didn't understand it, but I liked it.
Cool. Guys on Discord, what were your thoughts?
Me, I have a beef with the Washio Bros on basically on color scheme. I think the Kaisers from the movie look better because of the whole red and blue thing.
Sure.
White and teal does not mesh very well together.
I wouldn't call it teal. I would say it's a solid green.
It's a mix between blue. It's a mix between blue and green. Okay.
But I will say that I do think the blue and red look better.
If the gear on Remocon Bros was black, then it would have been better.
Yeah, well, the thing is, their undersuits are black, so I can understand why they didn't.
They're more gunmetal colors.
Yeah, I don't know.
Still like uniforms, though. Let's get on to Lupin.
We're not done yet. Oh, Emily, your thoughts on the episode.
Well, they were kind of summed up already. I thought it was a good episode. Things are progressing interestingly. I liked the exposition on Misora. Mm-hmm. Next episode, the preview's all like, who's the traitor? It's just like, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be any of the main characters. It's going to be the one who just showed up.
Ryuga out of nowhere, just right? Left field.
Honestly, that would be kind of interesting. Especially if it was for reasons that, like, were noble.
The thing is, I feel like if it was any of the main characters, when Nanba Heavy Industries started becoming a thing, we would have seen more of a reaction from them.
Okay, that actually is a very good point.
Dawn, what did you think of the episode, having not watched anything Guild-related before?
Well, it was something. I thought the very American-looking Asian guy who gets killed off was, he was something. He had, like, the weird, like, cowlick fro thing going on.
Castle?
So, yeah. The costume...
Yeah, Akaba.
The costumes were really well managed, and they definitely take care of detail about it, so... I was really kind of half-focused on plot when... Yeah, because I don't really know what's going on. So
That's fair.
I'm like, oh, cool, outfits look great, everything looks pretty solid, built, and...
Explosions?
Characters actually look formed.
Alright.
Okay.
Cool. And Blaze has something to say.
Wait, what?
You have something to say, don't you?
The thing.
Oh, are we going to LVP?
Yeah.
Alright, Yokokusuru!
So, episode 4 of Lupin Ranger featuring others starts with the others on patrol.
So this is
Lupin
like
Lupin Ranger featuring others.
So this was a mainly
Lupin Ranger and friends.
This was a mainly.
I'm sorry.
Lupin friends.
This was a mainly
fire carrot.
This was a mainly Power Ranger focused episode, and I was very happy. So
finally.
Yeah, I'm glad the Power Rangers are finally getting the recognition they deserve. But yeah, so it starts off just, like, we get some more history between Keiichiro and Tsukasa, and we found out that, like, there was, like, they were in, like, the Global Police, like, Academy together, and they were, like, good friends, and Tsukasa, like, tossed him back his eraser or something.
Was how I met your mother.
His eraser, like, slipped, and she got it.
And he's like, oh, thanks.
So, the thing is about that scene... Keiichiro doesn't really strike me as the type who's good at keeping secrets. So, like, this is including the scene from the end of the episode, but... So, when Sakuya asks Keiichiro if Tsukasa has any quote-unquote weaknesses, he, like, straight-faced says no, she has no weakness. Which means that I think that he decided to either forget... he decided to parse... her weakness to stuffed animals as not a weakness.
No, it's just a thing she does.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like a weakness.
That speaks a lot to Keiichiro's character, because he just processed it as, yeah, it's just a thing she does, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's really painting some interesting characterization on Keiichiro. But clearly Tsukasa is the focus, because as the Patch Rangers are investigating several closed-room disappearances... Tsukasa spots Shark-chan. Plushie of Shark-chan from the Shark Dating Simulator.
That Shark plushie is actually incredibly adorable, and I know someone who would absolutely love it. I'm not talking about myself.
They'll release them. They'll release those shards.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Complete
with skeleton teeth.
Yeah, and
it actually warps you to another dimension.
You put your face on it, and it transports you to a cage. Dimension.
Yeah.
So they go up to like this vendor or whatever like that, and it's like, oh, do you know anything involving these disappearances or whatever? And he's like, oh no, I can't say that I have.
And
the weirdest smile.
Yeah, he answers them all creepy, and which of course clues absolutely everyone in to him being the gangler.
Yeah. He's smiling and he's like, no, I have not heard of these disappearances. Whatever could you mean? I am not behind these disappearances.
The only thing they could have
done.
Why is
he Kermit the Frog?
The only thing they could have done to better highlight the fact that he was the monster would be to have him played by the same guy who did Itoya and Kiva, the spider fangire.
Oh.
I remember.
Oh, the puppet guy.
Yeah.
Wait, is he Kermit then?
I just love the fact
that's
that
a good point.
The cops, right?
Yep,
the Pat Rangers?
Yeah, the cops.
The red suit guy, I suck at names, Ichiro. He had the total look on his face like, okay, bro, I believe you, and looked like he was actually going to walk away.
Because he's stupid.
He overthinks
even the
everything.
Freaking kid behind him, the
up
freaking
and
green eye,
yep.
Green suit wonder,
Sakya,
Wonder Boy, like freaking stands
freaking wonder
there.
Bread.
And I swear, when you cut at a certain camera angle, he's looking at him like, dude, are you retarded?
I mean, he might.
No
be.
One else was gonna walk well, away, but the guy in the red suit.
He's kind of a moron.
Well, people already make fun of him anyway.
So, of course, the Lupins show up, play a card game at him, which reveals his monster form.
Oh,
they challenge him to a children's card game.
Right?
His name is Labrum Jaws.
Honestly, his design reminds me a lot of Redouay from Gaim.
Oh, a lot of people would also say Psydon from Breath of the Wild.
Kind of?
His color scheme.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, was the shark.
Yeah, he does look like a Zora.
So, like, the Lupin and Pat start, like, fighting him, and they're sort of fighting each other, too, and then,
and
like,
that's where we get our trippy camera work shot of the episode.
It was great, though.
Yeah, it's
love
like,
it.
Where did the camera even go? It was there, and now, like...
You should see those shots from the other three episodes.
And so, Keiichiro being Keiichiro, like, decides, okay, let's just, like, try to defeat the gangler, and Tsukasa stops him going, no, we need to find out about the disappearances of these people he knows. And he's like, aha, that's right, I do know where I have these people, and if you follow me, they'll die. So so he like plans to like sell them off or something like that. Cause,
they
yeah,
never
so,
say for what, but it sounds like it would be for
slavery.
Either slavery or food.
Yeah, so all the ganglers
really
appear to have
both, just experimentation.
Sort of, like, crime organization on Earth, which... I feel like that's kind of been under focus. Like, no one's really said in great detail what it is the ganglers do. Like, they
want
just
money.
Have a house in another dimension, and they just, like, have front businesses on Earth and like, crime organizations.
Well,
I think it's just supposed to be that they were just scam artists, and now they're just trying to do really crazy shit so they can get promoted.
Yeah.
Someone tells me that the ganglers are just doing crimes just for the hell of it.
Like, it's not really established if they had these, like, fronts set up before Don told them that he was retiring, or if they did it because he was retiring. But, like, if it's the latter, like, there's not really been a lot of explanation on what it is the ganglers do. There hasn't been a lot of focus on the fact that they have, / stole, possibly, the Lupin collection pieces.
That is a good point.
I feel like we will get that all explained eventually, but right now we're just sort of feeling our way around in the dark.
Well, like, with the people that they're kidnapping, what I think it is they're taking them so that they can add forces, because obviously the people they become have some sort of lifestyle, they have some sort of house. People obviously know who they are, so they're not, like, freaked out when they're in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're taking the people... And it looked like a lot of women and children, mostly. Like, I saw, you know, a few odd guys in there. But it was like, well, they've got to be adding to their force, being that they keep losing their force. So they have to, you know, it's kind of try and overbalance it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
if that's the idea that they replace people, I could see them like having an idea to do children. Like, oh hey, if we make people think that this is the way they acted their entire life, they're not going to be suspicious.
Exactly.
So it's like they're like worms where they could be replacing people. It's not really established yet if they are replacing actual humans or if they've just been there all along disguised as humans. There's a lot that we still haven't had answered, but we'll get there eventually.
We still don't know.
So Labrum Jaws is apparently kidnapping people in order to sell them into what specifically is not said.
They never actually say
But I feel like this is the kind of show where it's better that's not said.
I mean, what's her face? One of them for experiments.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that's true. Maybe it was for experiments.
Maybe.
Which is what
I
said.
I feel like it's for whatever the hell they want.
Which is what I said a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
So after that first fight with Jaws, Umika drops the hint at Tsukasa about the collection item's power to disguise objects. So it feels like we're going to get a lot of these moments over the course of the series where they subtly help each other.
I really like that.
They'll eventually just both be working together.
I really hope that the actual versus aspect doesn't last longer than half the show.
I mean, if it's like anything else that Sentai's done that's had versus on it, then probably.
Because, like, I like the idea of them being just like, yeah, the police officers and the Lupin Rangers, instead of just thieves, are also their informants.
Yeah.
Like, we know who the people are, you just gotta go kill them.
So the Pouch Rangers bring back Shark Chan from one of the scenes of the disappearances. And then
they bring back all the Shark Chans.
Right, yeah. And then we get probably my favorite scene from the Pouch Rangers to date, where Tsukasa is alone in the room with the shark plush, and she just, like, whips her hair forth and just slams the table.
She just melts.
I can't fucking stand it anymore!
Women are in love with stuffed animals. And to continue our SpongeBob joke, she's just like, I don't need it. I definitely don't need it.
There's being in love with stuffed animals, and then there's wanting to literally stick it inside of you.
Then there's one to stick
inside of the shit out of it.
Yeah, right.
Look at the gift of Facebook.
Are you trying to tell me that in your entire life you've never like cuddled like a teddy bear or stuffed animal?
No, I'm a grown man. Move on.
I definitely stuffed them inside me.
You know what? I'm gonna fix this right now. I'll be right back. Continue your conversation.
You're not gonna fuck a teddy bear.
No one can see it. It's not gonna help.
They'll hear it though.
There's one for you to chew. Oh, you know what? This is perfect. So you're gonna hug this.
Nobody goes like this. Nobody walks up to
cuddle the knuckles.
Cuddle the knuckles.
There.
If I like it, I'd go like this. I would go.
Eric, we're not asking you to stick your dick in it.
There you go.
Oh no!
I have no idea.
Quantum Caster has cuddled
we're
the knuckles.
We're now Cast Ranger and Knuckles.
Look, this is a
pretty Quantum Caster go.
What she did? Whoa,
where's Eric?
God, Eric's gone.
Okay, whoa.
Stop doing that to Knuckles.
We just lost like three casters.
Knuckles knows the way.
And there goes the subscribers.
Knuckles
they're all gone.
Shit. Well, at least today.
Knuckles knows the way right to your dick.
Cast Ranger and Knuckles.
Whoa!
Anyways, yeah, she wanted to fuck that plushie. Clearly a fetish.
Hey, look at the gift
clearly
that you just posted. That guy also wants to fuck it. Look
so
at the gift
that
you posted about what's his face.
So anyway, Tsukasa gives in to her primal urges, glumps the plushie, and then...
just poof.
Nobody saw that. No.
I mean, yeah, no one did see that.
Let's make this up.
They never saw it.
It
just bash.
I just realized something.
What?
If they were recording Keiichiro and Sakuya fucking snuggling the thing, why weren't they recording Tsukasa doing it?
Because she was in the other room!
They were in the same room!
It happened in the same room! Jim Carter left.
They didn't want to give away the
secret. Oh yeah, Jim Carter was recording.
So is he recording with his eyes, or is there a camera in the room?
No,
Jim Carter has
yes.
No, because he was recording them, and then he pointed the camera towards himself at the end.
Which means there's a camera in there, so why wasn't it running the whole
what
time?
What if the camera's on his hand or something?
No, because Jim Carter was holding the camera, recording.
Bullshit.
He's a robot, shouldn't he be able to...
Wait a minute, then how did they... If you have to hold the camera, then how did they not notice it till now?
I don't know. Anyway, so she gets teleported to Helheim Forest or whatever.
Is that
the
magic?
It doesn't matter. It's Jim Carter.
Is that magic or technology that's doing that?
Both.
Yes.
Who cares?
And then she finds all the other people, one of them being a guy.
Yeah, they did say when they were doing their investigation that it wasn't, there was, it was
people
random
of
genders
all ages,
and ages,
but mostly females.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, have you seen the, like, I saw a video about, like, what happened when, like, Beanie Babies were no longer being sold. Like, some old men were going crazy.
Some sort of kid.
But yeah, I just wanted them to just look at the guys there and just go, yeah, I snuggled it.
I know, right?
I fucked it.
That just sounds so.
No.
That just sounds so.
What happens if you alter the plushie
so
for the ultra
just hearing that.
I really hope no one actually tried to fuck it because there were dangerous monster shark teeth in it.
Yep.
Oh god, it was like a...
just disguised as plushes.
Well, maybe it would try to go the other end.
Which is great because when Tsukasa realized that there were monster teeth inside the thing, the delusion that she experiences just made me go Gabrincho.
And Ichi?
Gabrincho, the ranger!
That's a Koryuju joke.
Yep.
So
and Ichi, I'll be posting the treasure name in the chat later.
Sorry?
I'll get it.
So she tries
Oh, God damn it.
So she tries fighting Jaws by herself, and she
stole my job.
She can't handle it alone. And then, surprise, Keichiro and Sakuya show up, and they, like, give her back her BS changer, which, like, at one point she's actually trying to, like, grab it, even though it's really far away from her, so...
She tries
use
to
use the Force!
Yeah.
Be like Mistora.
Yes. Then they transform the Power Rangers, and they proceed to, like, try to kick his ass, and then, like, during it, like, whatever, there's a news report going on at the, like, the cafe or whatever on TV, and, like, Umika's listening, and she's like,
all the people got released.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, I know where to go, guys, follow me.
So they join the battle scene in the forest, and they start helping each other again, because Sango kicks Jaws right over to where Yellow is so she can get the item out.
Yep.
And the item this time is a vibrator with a ribbon.
Yeah, yeah. My own words, thank you.
Okay, what the hell is up with these names? The order of the weirdest names, there's Turn Me On, Get Big, I'm Going to Dress You.
Yeah, so the Lupin Collection item for this week is named Je vais t'habiller, which translates to I'm Going to Dress You.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's
because
sort
they
of
said
like transform
things,
yeah.
Which is actually a Goggle 5 reference.
They said the power
very
of,
sexualized names.
They said the power of the item was to disguise objects, and it did kind of look like the Sailor Moon disguise pen.
I liked that Keiichiro, like, goes up to Tsukasa and he's like, hey, what the hell was that? And she's like, oh, sorry, boss, like, my hand slipped. Or, in this case, my foot. And I'm like,
my hand slipped. I mean, my foot slipped.
And Tsukasa has, like, really good combat experience. Like,
well, yeah, she fucking ripped the VS changer right out of fucking Blue's hands last time.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and she has some cool gun moves and stuff, and it's just really, really impressive stuff. And then the goody comes in, and he's like, oh, I choose who the hell I want because I'm a free agent, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go with the Power Rangers. And then goes to the Power Rangers and become Paddle Kaiser.
Well, no, we see them use Patron Yugo.
Oh, right, they use Patron Yugo, and they do an amazing attack again, and it's really well shot.
Don't you get in strike.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like a really
don't
cool
get
explosion
you
attack.
Strike.
What am I doing?
Yeah, what am I doing?
And then Lumetto comes in, reuses Jaws. We get to see both Megazords this week.
Yeah, because fucking just Goody can't
make up his mind.
Yeah, and then this is where like
he's like, hey, you guys suck. Fuck you.
And then like Goody pops up in the Paddle Kaiser like with the cop hat, and that's when Eric was like, oh, he looks like a vampire police carrot.
I'm watching
a
show.
Was the best description.
And out of nowhere, a fucking vampire police carrot shows
and
up.
I just like the thing is the as silly as
vampire
that sounds.
Police carrot.
I can't deny that that's an absolutely flawless explanation of what he is.
Why is it that you keep finding different things that Good Striker looks like?
Carrot,
we said
vampire.
He looked like Mac tonight.
Yeah, I thought he looked like Mac tonight, but I can't top Vampire Felice Carrot.
Vampire.
It's the perfect combination of elements. It's the perfect combination of elements that form the picture in your mind of exactly what Goody is somehow.
The perfect screenwriter's pulling shit out of a hat and deciding what to throw.
Okay,
on
what's
literally,
your mascot?
Two hats, a police
vampire,
hat and a top hat.
Police Carrot. Got it.
Done.
Best match!
Police carrots?
Vampire,
police carrots.
Vampire police carrots, vampire police carrots.
Police carrots and thief carrots.
It's an O's combo. Vampire, quesats, carrot!
Sure.
I just love, so like when they switched to Lupin Kaiser, I just love the shot where like they use the yellow arm to like saw the trees, and then they like shoot the trees that they've sawed at Jaws.
It's just,
and
like, he like throw damages trees him.
He's like, my mouth! Trees! I'm weak to grass type!
He's like, you hurt my mouth!
But he's a water type.
It's like a 300-pound machine.
Yeah, water.
Oh, fuck, trees.
Water's weak to grass.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So yeah. It actually makes sense.
Trees, my only weakness.
It actually
my only tree weakness. My weakness, my balls. How did you know?
A monster that like, is anti-hippie.
It's like that. It's like the joke from the Nostalgia Critic. Why did a bunch of aliens come to Earth where their two weaknesses are readily available?
Oh, yeah, the
water
wood!
And
wood.
Wood!
Ah, thing. That was great.
Wood. Fuck.
So it looks like they were fighting in the Jurassic Park island, but anyways.
So as they finish it off, what the line that he says, I don't know if that's actually what he said, but what the subbers at least chose to translate it as was the time-old phrase, loose lips sink ships.
What's that supposed to mean, actually?
It's like talking about people who say too much.
Oh, so me.
Right.
Loose lips sink friendships.
I thought you were for a sec going to say, oh, so it's like me.
Boo, Blaze, boo.
I'm sorry. I don't know what tonight is.
So Kogre gets the, put another item in the book, and then there, Kyrie's like, oh, what you stating? He's just like, Kylie, no,
I'm
fuck you.
I'm fucking busy.
No, just he says, Kylie, go fuck yourself.
And Face puts a really funny...
Kogre is evil. Kogre is evil.
Eat your vegetables.
Putting that out there.
Don't. Oh yeah. My god, that Godzilla gif.
So, yeah, we get to see a playback of Keiichiro and Sakuya having a threesome with Shark Chan.
And it was funny.
Oh
and
my.
Just, like, yeah, Jim Carrey's like, yeah, I got the whole thing or whatever. And Hilltop's like, yeah.
That's going in the spank bank!
Wow! Like, we get to see him going, wow. And then, like, he gives snacks to everyone. And then just, like, I love this scene. Tsukasa just goes, like, I'm surprised you figured out to, like, cuddle the thing. And Keiichiro's just, calmly, like, well, casually, like, yeah, you always do that. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I've seen you do it before. And then come back to her, like, cuddling a puppy back at, like, the academy, and just Keiichiro just standing there
puppy.
Looking at her.
And I'm thinking,
and
is
the best
this
going to
teleport
ever.
Her again?
No.
I know.
And the best scene ever, Keiichiro sees her cuddling the doll and just fucking walks on by
just
like nothing
looking.
Happened.
Yeah, just, okay.
It's so hilarious!
And then just Keiichiro's just like, as he's eating like a snack or whatever like that.
Like nothing's wrong.
Just, yeah, like freaking Hilltop's just like, oh, that's like interesting. And like he's like, ah, and Sakuya's just like, oh, that's really adorable, senpai, or whatever. And she's like, ah!
My life is over.
And then just ends.
So yeah, next week.
And.
Next week, Destra is going to be doing some stuff, and the teams are going to actually get in each other's business.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, the preview, like, Lupin Red gets, like, really close to Patron Ichigo's face and, like, rubs his helmet against him. That's what it looked like,
weird.
And I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, this is a really good episode. I enjoyed it. I'm glad we got, like, more, like, focus on Tsukasa as well, and we, like, learned a bit more about, like, their past with Keiichiro, so it's cool to know that they're, like, school buddies.
Yeah, and I feel I feel like we're really starting to settle in with the show now.
Oh yeah. I'm definitely all in.
This is really good.
Yeah,
it's a lot of
fun.
The camera work in this episode is absolutely brilliant. I know that's a really pretentious sounding thing to say. This series has been doing such weird stuff with the camera and it's cool.
Yep.
I don't even know how they pull it off.
Japan.
I just remembered something I wanted to say. Like, earlier on, like, after the Rangers get back to their home base, and, like, they're asking, like, oh, why did you tell them the information? She just starts saying, like, oh, well, Zeg starts crying about saying, like, well, we know, like, we want people, our friends back, why can't we help them get their people back? And she starts crying, and Kairi's becoming quickly one of my favorite Reds.
Yep.
Because he just got to her, basically told her, like, I get it. Stop.
Same here.
He's fun.
That was a cute moment.
Still a brat.
It's like an older brother moment.
I think that him and Keiichiro would balance each other out pretty perfectly, so they need to team up.
The funny guy routine, the straight man routine?
I'm pretty sure that they are specifically designed to be two sides of one Red Ranger.
I'm
two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Patos come back for more good soup.
Maybe both Reds having a final form, they're just gonna combine into one.
That would actually be really cool.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, same here.
Actually, that would make sense because then the two teams will make one full team.
The ultimate greater good.
Someone pointed out, which I did notice, that when I put up my mix of the two theme songs, I overlaid the roll calls, like the images of each team's roll call. And if you look at the way the two images intersect, the green and pink Rangers fit in nicely, perfectly between blue and pink. So it looks like they've already spaced it to be able to fit both teams into a roll call.
That is interesting.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So yes, fantastic. Excelente. So before we sign off for the week, I would once again like to speak a little bit about the Cast Ranger anniversary. So as I've mentioned, there is no feature topic this week, and that is because what we will be putting out instead, which will be at some point next week because I'm still working on it, is the Cast Ranger FAQ that has been requested.
Woo! You gave us questions, we answered them.
I have spent
the last week solid editing and putting together everyone's answers. We have answers from many of the casters, including some that aren't on anymore, so you'll get to hear from them again.
Yep.
So that is going to be put out some point next week, so in lieu of that, there will be no feature topic this week, but I just wanted to quickly say here, as I did say in the FAQ, that Cast Ranger is the most consistent thing that I've done in my life, as far as I can remember. So I'm not only proud of just myself for maintaining it, but everyone who's ever been a part of it.
Yeah.
I love you guys so much, and I'm so glad that you decided to spend your Friday nights here with us. And that goes to everyone listening as well. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, and even just checking us out. I wouldn't trade doing Cast Ranger for anything.
And thank you, Ichi, for keeping the show alive.
Thank you. You're the reason that the whole thing started, and I
hope both him and Overkill.
This isn't silly, but I still can't believe that I'm allowed to be a part of this and able to, despite the fact I'm kind of a silly potato. But
welcome to the Silly Potato House.
Same.
You guys are all. I think you guys are cool.
We're all silly potatoes.
I want to say thank you to you guys as well, and to everyone who's ever listened.
Yeah, in all seriousness, like I love doing the show. Toku's a huge part of my life. I love talking about it with anyone, anytime, and just the show lets me be me at my fullest, because like it's hard when like on my work life I can't talk about the shit at all without people just going, what? Like, no one outside of this house, like, knows what the fuck I'm talking about. That's why, like, love going to conventions, meeting other Toku fans, because it's always a fucking treat, going to panels, and it's just great, like, and Twitter, like, another place I can go on to be myself, and just, so, like, I love doing the show, because it lets me be me, and I'm happy to share with everyone here, so thank you. And to everyone who listens, and, like, who's fans of us, thank you so much. Like, it means a lot, so...
So what I will do, as a closer is, anyone listening to this episode, I would like you, if you have been listening to any of our shows at all, to please post a comment highlighting your favorite Cast Ranger moment.
Favorite caster, and, like, what episode you started on. So, like, let us know. We really want to know.
Just to get it started, I'll put it out there that one of my favorite Cast Ranger moments will always be... Fire the Dingers! That's kind of why I was hoping Cell would be here.
Yeah, my one of my favorite episodes is still episode 75, Bakasumi, because it was just, we laughed so much, and I made Star Ninja cancer joke, and that's still one of my favorites.
God.
Yeah!
I don't know about my favorite caster, but my least favorite is that spellcaster guy. He's an asshole.
Oh, God! Kill him!
Trust nobody, not even yourself.
So, Crimson Fox, Quantum Caster, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
What do you think about the show, having joined us now and having listened the last couple weeks?
I enjoy the show.
We're awful, we know.
Yes, we're terrible, all the pebbles. Yeah, and the audience is always fun. You guys always send in some really awesome pictures, GIFs, wonderfully horrible things sometimes that are just beyond description.
Yeah, it's a fandom.
And you too could hear those terrible things if you join us on the Discord. We record Friday nights.
And if you're from the 4chan forums, fuck off.
4chan
is going to assume. Rule 34!
4chan is a dark side of the internet. Never venture into that area.
And never come here. Rule 34, stay where you are, stay in your hole, and never venture off into the outside world. Thank you.
I'm sensing some trauma.
That's 4chan, Simba. You must never go there.
Yes.
Nice one, Frank.
Well.
Everything that likes our kingdoms.
So, you know all the same spiel, the same promotion. Facebook, Podbean, Twitter, we're all on that stuff. We love you. Give us money. On Patreon, please. Hashtag Japan. Hashtag Japan to Dan. Hashtag money for lame.
I love you, but I love your money more.
He said it.
And before we end this off.
And thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Sweet.
Well, before we end this off.
Silent night, holy night.
Shut up!
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh my god!
And the picture's never seen the
Dave, edit that in, Dave.
Someone finish the picture. There's Sento with, and then there's Kenji taking a selfie.
I feel like the second I said edit that in, Dave, he was going to cut to a video of him just looking at the camera and yelling, no!
That's so perfect.
Shu, what was it you wanted to say?
Before we end this off, celebration clap for the 4th anniversary of Cast Ranger.
Yay! Woo! Eric, clap. Thank you.
Woo! Off clap.
Oh, God, and Blazers, you know, is my cast name now, so.
That's adorable.
You're so cute.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next week!
Fuck yeah!